Let us pray. O Lord God, thank you for this worship tonight. We ask your blessings as we come to your word with our ears and our minds and our hearts. Accompany that word with your Holy Spirit to have its good impact on our lives. We are going to learn about life tonight in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And welcome to all of our 8th grade families with us, especially tonight because you're leaving on your big trip to Washington, D.C. And also a special welcome to all of you as we celebrate, in a way, our Mother's Day weekend a little early this evening. The text is from 1 John chapter 5, real simple words, easy Bible verse that we can all memorize tonight. It simply are these words, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Today we're celebrating Mother's Day, and mothers are an important reminder to us of the gift of life. All of us, every single one of us, owe our life to our mothers, conceived in their wombs, nurtured, fed, bathed, clothed, prayed for, protected, and on and on and on we could go. It's quite obvious to all of us. We would not exist if it had not been for the love and the sacrifice of our mothers and of our fathers. But I'd also like you to think about where that truth also leads. It leads us in a good way to something even deeper and more profound than that. Because all mothers themselves, as well as their children, ultimately have to look to God as the one who gives us life. Life is not an accident, and none of us can say, "It just happened. I just sprung out of nowhere." We know life can't possibly be an accident, nor did we make it ourselves. Life is a gift from God. It always has been. And let's take that truth now, mother's gift of life, life a gift of God. Let's connect that to one more vital truth, and that is this, that eternal life is also a gift of God. It's something that the Bible tells us all over the place. Just listen to a few examples of this. King David, Psalm 3, salvation belongs to the Lord. So our salvation, our eternal life, it belongs to the Lord. Jesus, in another place, says, "No one comes to the Father except by me." Peter, in one of his great sermons, said, "There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And John, the apostle, said it so well. "He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now that teaching, it's so clear in the Bible, is so also very resisted by many people in our world. Some of you may remember a few years ago, we had a gentleman that came to our church. His name was Adephrus. Adephrus was originally from Ethiopia. He was a Christian and a journalist, and he owned a Christian bookstore. The Muslims in his town didn't bother him too much until it became aware to them that Adephrus believed that Jesus was the only way of salvation. And as soon as that word began to spread, they got angry and started vandalizing the store and sending him threatening letters, threatening actually his life. Whereupon his wife told him, "Adephrus, you either need to stop talking about Jesus or you need to leave the country." Adephrus couldn't stop talking. If you know Adephrus, you really understand that. And so he did that. He left the country. He went to a Christian conference in Kentucky, and he immediately applied for asylum and received it and was able to stay here. He stayed initially at a Salvation Army in Kentucky, but eventually came our direction because he went to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and became a pastor. And for several years, he served here in our congregation. Adephrus is a great example of experiencing this sometimes violent resistance to this teaching that there is only one way of salvation, and that way is in Jesus. Well, why do Muslims and why do people of so many other religions get so upset about this teaching? And the reason is because they have a misunderstanding of what salvation is. In their mind, salvation is something to be earned, as everything else in life is to be earned. And so in their mind, when they hear us saying Jesus is the only way of salvation, they get upset because it's like saying we're morally superior to you. Our way of following Jesus and the good works we do in him are better than the good works that you do according to your faith. But that's not at all what we're saying. We're not saying that we are morally superior. In many ways, there are people of other faiths that are more sacrificial and probably more loving than some Christians are in many, many cases. But what we are saying is that Jesus is the one who is morally superior to everyone and to everybody. And that he lived and he died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven in order that he might not give us an opportunity to earn our forgiveness and salvation, but in fact to earn it for us, to give us that free gift of salvation. That is why it's so important to see this and understand this. And this is such a plain fact. Buddha never said that you can be saved freely. He clearly teaches that salvation in his mindset is something that has to be lived out and achieved in your life. Muhammad says the same thing. The Dalai Lama say the same thing. It's always the same message. Your life results in rewards, divine, spiritual rewards. Now, this teaching is just wrong because of what God's Word says. But not only that, it also leads to many other problems. And we as Christians sometimes get drawn into it ourselves. And we think that our life somehow also is in the play, part of the equation, is part of the way of salvation. That leads us, unfortunately, to all sorts of pride. It leads us to a false sense of security and complacency in many cases. You know, some people also worry and are full of despair. Some people don't feel like I need to go to church very often because basically I'm a good person. And because I'm a good person, then I will somehow be saved. Or another person may say, I better not miss church one time because that won't look good on my report card before God. Both ways, both motivations are completely wrong. But rather, seeing our salvation as a gift from God causes us to say, I want to be with that God. I want to be with that Jesus. I want to hear what he says as much as I can. And I want to, by faith, do what he calls me to do. Let's think about that life for a moment. Let's think about accepting that and realizing the blessings that come, not just by realizing you owe everything to your mother, but also now realizing you owe everything to God's Son, Jesus. Last Saturday, we had a funeral here, a difficult funeral for a mother who was killed in an accident on I-44 in Missouri. Her daughter was also critically injured along with her and still remains hospitalized. That accident happened over a month ago now. And here we see the importance of what Jesus says. He who has the Son has life. Because we don't have to ask whether she was good enough, whether she had done enough to be saved. We don't have to also just sort of latch onto some platitude. Well, she was a pretty good person. We have a truth. We have a promise. We have a reality. He who has the Son has life. He who has that Son, Jesus, who calls for repentance and gives forgiveness, has the hope of eternal life. But it's more to it than that. It's not just God's way of saying this is how you will live forever in heaven. It's also God's way of saying this is how you will live in a good life right now. You notice that Jesus says it this, or John says it this way, he who has the Son has life. He doesn't really specify here eternal life. He just says life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's important. God is saying to us that life is a gift, not just from mothers, but from himself. And that is a gift that is powerful and transformative. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to him at night, that you must be born again. The flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And what he's saying by that is that flesh is inherently corrupt because of sin. And our life, no matter how good it looks, how well constructed it might be from our genetics or from our own hard work, is always like a sandcastle. It's always deteriorating. It's always falling apart. Whether it's our own sins or the sins of others, they always affect us in negative ways. We are, like Isaiah says, a garment that is growing old, a garment that is fading away. If all we have is flesh, then all we have is dying and death. But Jesus says, he who has the Son has life and salvation. And that changes everything. Now we are no longer just a person dying, but we are a person truly living. Living by the power of God's word. And what that basically means is that sin no longer dominates. It's there. We struggle against it at all times, but it isn't in control of things. We can look at gossip, that great temptation to gossip, and say to ourselves, I'm not stepping into that trap because I know those words will wound others, and eventually they'll come back and wound me. We can look at the problem of hatred and we can say to ourselves, I am not going to be drawn into that. There is evil in every one of us. And I can hate the evil in myself and I can hate the evil in another person. But it doesn't mean I need to hate that person. That is a poison that will only destroy me. We can say to lust, desires that can't be satisfied are like salt water. They are just going to make us sick. They are going to make us thirstier. I will turn off this movie. I will block out this internet website because it will not satisfy me and it will only make me worse off. I do not need to be cheated. I do not need to be used. There are better things in life to which I can give myself that will satisfy and will turn out beautifully and be wonderful for me. So that I'm not this old sandcastle fading, falling apart, but rather a statue, a bronze statue of resilient life that will not only last here, but into eternity as well. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. A nun was once asked what was so great about Mary, the mother of Jesus. The questioner thought sure that she was going to talk about Mary's virtues. You know, for example, how amazing her faith was when Gabriel told her that she was going to bear a son. Even though she was a virgin, she just believed the word of the Lord. That's pretty amazing right there. The questioner thought maybe she would bring up the virtue of Mary, who stood by the cross of Jesus and watched her own son being crucified and put to death. But the nun didn't refer to any of those things. Instead, she said with a dry sense of humor, you know, the most amazing thing about Mary is that her son turned out so well. That's a beautiful way to think about it. You see, she had the Son in that sense. In fact, the last verse that really mentions Mary doing anything in the book of Acts is Mary praying, right along with everyone else, looking to her own Son who she knew gives life. And I just urge everyone, learn about him. Follow him in his footsteps. It will turn out well for you and for your life. One last little story to close. An old sermon illustration, been around for a little while, and you've probably heard it before, but it's about a little girl who had a checkup at the doctor's office. And the doctor put the stethoscope on her chest and was listening to her heart, and she said, I think I hear Barney in there. Barney, the old television character for children. The little girl said to the doctor shyly, Barney's on my underwear. Jesus is in my heart. And that also is a good reminder to us of where life comes from. You see, Jesus in the heart means we have protection from sin. either our own or that of others. Jesus in our heart means that we have forgiveness. And where there's forgiveness and when that sin is pulled away from our lives, there the real life begins. That's why there's only one way of salvation, because there's only one person who ever said there was an actual way of salvation as a free gift, and that is Jesus, the Son of God. He who has the Son has life. Amen. Please rise. O Lord God, we give thanks this evening for the gifts you've given to us, from mothers, from the gift of life itself, the gift of forgiveness and life and salvation in Jesus. Bless and be with us as we continue to walk with him and he with us, and listening to his words and being blessed by them and following in all his ways. Grant that to us, Lord. Amen.